Occasionally, I get days where the quality of my thoughts, the quality of my presence, feels very scattered. It feels like my focus is all over the place. Like I really struggle to hold my focus on a single point of concentration. The beauty of meditation is that to attain samadhi, to attain a level of concentration that stills the mind, we have to practice concentration and mental focus, right? When you apply that to day-to-day tasks, the same qualities can be transferred. So as a writer, I find that my meditation practice has really helped, really, really helped to attain flow and absorption and deep focus on what I'm doing and what I'm writing. And I love that. I love that quality. I love the feeling of focus, where I know that I'm the commander of my thoughts. I know that if there's something I want to focus on, I'm able to say, okay, this is the task. This is what I'm focusing on. And this is it. And that's my decision. So the days when I notice that my thoughts are more scattered, I notice that the quality of restlessness and almost an impulsive element to my thoughts. It's like my thoughts start to have a bit of more control over me. And it doesn't happen a lot, but it happens enough for me to be able to explore and understand the mechanisms of this. So when I feel like my thoughts are scattered, I notice that there's not much space between the zing, the kind of arrival of a thought, and then an action. So Viktor Frankl talks about this. He talks about the space between stimulus and response, and that's where our freedom lies. And I feel that meditation allows us to really create more space between stimulus and response. And in this example, the stimulus is a thought, not a deliberate conscious thought, but like almost more like an autonomous thought. Like I'm reading and then I think like, oh, what will I have for dinner? Or I get an idea for an article, or any inspirational or daily or mundane thought that immediately I feel I have to follow up. Right, but it's not a conscious decision. Now, an example that we might experience every day is, oh, I just checked my phone. Right, we have a thought, we're trying to focus on something, and bear in mind that the way that we are geared in modern culture promotes scattered thinking. We are not designed to have prolonged focus, and if you look in like productivity realms, there is a push for deep focus, as a push for flow state and the quality and the productivity and the joy that those states bring. But they really require going against the grain. They require almost working against ourselves, almost finding out the different things in life that create scattered thinking. And our phones are one of them. If we're constantly, boom, notification. It's like Pavlov's dog, right? Like if you get a notification and you follow up straight away, you're increasing this behavioral pattern. You're increasing this habit. So then what happens is thought becomes action. Thought becomes action, right? You reinforce that when you have a thought that is outside of what you consciously are practicing in that moment, be it meditation, be it focusing on an article, be it focusing on a conversation, you become impulsive. So a metaphor that I had come to mind this morning in a way that was also kind of impulsive, but I allowed it to evolve, was thinking of an enthusiastic dog, right? And you're at a park. Let's say your mind is the park, and each thought is represented by someone just throwing a ball. And our attention, if we allow it, can become that dog that just wants to chase every ball that is thrown, right? So it's like a thought, oh, go and chase that. Oh, yeah, I'll go in that direction. I'll go in this direction. And there's a reinforcement. And I notice this within myself. I can have days where I feel like I'm checking things more frequently. Like I have a thought and then I follow it up in an instant. So I'm not creating space. The difference is on the days when I'm really present and I'm really focused and I feel, you know, this is an issue because I just feel a lot more settled when I'm like that. But when I'm not, the issue is that I just feel like worn down by the end of the day. And I had that yesterday. I felt like I didn't have a sense of inner stillness. I felt just really like I'd kind of burnt out my brain. So the days when I'm able to focus are the days when, okay, the ball might be thrown and I just take a second and I'm like, I can see that. I'm not going to follow it. I'm not going to chase it, even though that the impulse is to do that, right? So for me, the practice, when I notice that my thoughts are scattered, is to refine my attention. And I do this in meditation as a practice, as a training ground for this. And I encourage you, you know, if you're using, say, the breath as an anchor, that is the practice. It's when you notice that you're enthusiastically chasing balls that are thrown, or even on the opposite, you're running away. You know, you're running away from a threat. So you're doing the opposite, but you're still in that instant, in the instant that you have a thought, you're following it up. And it could even be that this impulsive chain is another thought. So it could be that you get one thought, I have to make sure that I send that email, right? So the thought is, boom, I have to send that email. You could, for example, just go, oh, control T, open up Gmail, look at your emails, and then maybe not decide to write it, but there's like a follow-up. But it could also be mental. It could be another chain of thoughts. Oh, what if I don't? Oh, when should I send it? What time of day? Should I do it now or should I do it later? So you're creating these chains and you're reinforcing the paradox is you're reinforcing the brains or more kind of giving positive reinforcement that is desired if you're acting upon it. When you don't, when you step back, when you concentrate, when you don't chase enthusiastically and you just watch, right, those thoughts come in and then you reinforce that the watching is where you want to be, and you are the commander in chief of your mind, right? So that will then lead to less intrusive thoughts and it will lead to a more restful quality. I'd like to just conclude this because it reminds me of a passage from The Happiness Trap, which is to do with urge surfing. And I will go into this, I think, in a separate video in more depth. But the idea of what this is discussing is that a lot of the time when we have different urges and different impulses, they clash with our values. They go against what we'd like to do. So if we really want to study and we want focused study time, but we have the urge to just not concentrate, basically. Like we have an urge to escape the task. And that comes in the form of checking social media. It comes in the form of suddenly having to clean the apartment or you know, researching where you're going on holiday next year at the expense of doing what feels meaningful. Then we have to look at what an urge is. And the metaphor here, and I highly recommend this book by Russ Harris, the metaphor is that an urge is a wave. And that the thing is with urges, the wave is never consistent, right? So urge surfing, step by step, is learning how to surf the urge. And I will use, as an example, I would really recommend looking at how many times in the day you get the urge to check your phone and surfing that, rather than just going with it and picking your phone up. Just take a step back and feel the urge and then wait to check your phone and see the quality of mind that comes from that when you're not constantly on high alert and responding. Anyway, as Russ Harris explains, to surf an urge rather than be wiped out by it, all you need to do is, step one, observe it. notice where you feel it in your body. So there might be, I feel like a form of energy, like that for me is that kind of chasing of the ball is like, I've got act now. It's quite a neutral feeling, sometimes excitable. Like a lot of the time when I'm really scattered in my thinking, it's when I'm enthused. And that can be used beautifully for a creative process. But if it's not what I'm doing in that moment, I want to learn how to refine and kind of give myself permission to feel that way when relevant. Step two, acknowledge. I'm having the urge to X, Y, Z. I'm having the urge to pick up a cookie. I'm having an urge to message my ex. I'm having an urge to check if anyone's liked my Facebook status or my Instagram story, right? Three, breathe into it and make room for it. So here you're not trying to suppress it or get rid of it. This is really important. This is what mindfulness is all about, right? You're not getting frustrated or trying to push away the urge. Oh, why do I feel like, oh, that's frustrating. Why do I feel like I have this need to check? We're not doing that. You want to breathe and watch that ball as it's thrown and feel the sensations and accept it. Step four, watch the urge as it rises, crests, and then falls again, right? It's often helpful to score the urge on a scale of 1 to 10. For example, I'm having the urge to smoke and now it's a 7. Keep checking, noticing when it's rising, peaking, or falling. Remember, no matter how huge the urge gets, you have room for it. And if you give it enough space, then sooner or later it will crest and then subside. So observe it, breathe into it, create space, and allow it. Again, a beautiful mindfulness technique. We're learning that even the most intense urges, they subside. So you're bringing an element of curiosity into the urge and you're not following it and you're seeing it. Now, the urge to check your email or Facebook might be a lot subtler than the urge to smoke if you've been a smoker for some time. But it will always follow this organic rise and fall. So you're just learning to tune into that without acting. Create that space between stimulus and response by riding the wave. And then check five, because acceptance and commitment therapy, which is awesome, there's a lot of values work around that. So check five is to check in with your values and ask yourself, what action can I take right now instead of trying to resist or control my urges that will enhance my life in the long term? Then whatever the answer is, go ahead and do it, right? This is such an important teaching because you can apply that to almost anything. Like if you're in an argument with your partner and you've got an urge to prove how right you are, if you've got an urge to say something that you know is probably quite mean, check it with your values. Check it with if you're someone then you value respect, if you value diligence in your work, for example, then really the process of becoming more conscious is learning to live aligned with your values and to not be so impulsive and not to be pulled by the waves and to be pulled in multiple directions. And then you're creating a reinforcement, a positive reinforcement, a living aligned with values, going on the road less traveled, right? The one where you're living aligned and a fulfilled life, not an impulsive, scattered, I'm going to chase whatever is presently pulling my attention away. We're in a world that is constantly pulling our attention away. The more that you can bring in, you can regain the scattered focus and scattered attention, the more that you're actually connecting to self and you're also kind of reconnecting with the deepest part of you as well. But that's for another video. I hope that this one has informed and giving you something to work with. And again, I recommend the Happiness Trap. It's an awesome overview of acceptance and commitment therapy. Whoops. So urge surfing, scatter your brain. I hope that this has helped and there's something that you can take for your day from this video. So thank you for watching.